Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen. This morning, this is Palm Sunday, I believe, if I have that right, you know, and Jesus came in to Jerusalem and all that going on, the Passion Week and the Passover and, of course, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this week, had the privilege and honor. We went with Luke's fifth grade field trip, but it was really cool. We went to Nashville with some Bray County people, and so we got to meet the governor, Governor Lee, and he's a good man. We need to pray for him. He talked about God a little bit, but I really like him, believe he's a born-again Christian. Maybe not, but I think that he is. And our representatives and everything, you know, and I was with, we were with a big group. And the person with me said, because we went into the Senate chamber and they were debating a bill and stuff like that. And the person with me said, there's some power in that room. There's some power in that. And, you know, there is power there. Amen. In Nashville and the state capitol and, of course, in Washington, and they're passing laws and they're senators and representatives. But I know one who has all power. Amen. Who has all power. Amen. And I love this story in the Bible, but when Jesus resurrected, you know, and the women came to see him, and he met them after the stone was rolled away, and the angel was there, and he had resurrected, and he said, "All hail, H-A-I-L, all hail," which means all power, amen. All power has been given to Jesus, amen, in heaven and in earth. He always had it in heaven, but he came to this earth as a mortal man in a physical body, and he gave that physical body as a sacrifice for us, the perfect, sinless body of Jesus Christ, and he had to do that, and he resurrected again, amen. The grave could not hold him. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him, amen. And when he resurrected, amen, a risen victorious Savior, Jesus Christ, all power has been given unto him. Amen. And we need to worship the Lord this morning, because no matter how much power that Joe Biden has, or Donald Trump has, or Governor Lee has, or Nashville has, or Washington has, or California has, or anywhere else has, amen, we worship one who has more power than anybody else who's ever lived on the face of this earth. Amen. And we need to worship him this morning. The Bible says, come into his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with praise. Amen. Let's praise the risen, victorious Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning, who has all power in heaven. Amen. Over the demons and the devil and Lucifer and demonic spirits, and also has all power in this earth over every elected official, everything that's going on. Amen. No matter what's going on, bad marriage, bad friends, bad job, bad finances, spiritual stumbling blocks in your life, he has power to get rid of all of them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, this Sunday morning, God, right here at Family Worship Center, Athens, Tennessee. God, we thank you for this church building. God, we thank you for our pastors, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everyone that's here, Lord God. We know the devil fights against this church and against us, Lord God, but we lift up the victorious Savior, God, the resurrected King, Lord Jesus Christ, God, who came to this earth to give his life as a sinless, spotless sacrifice to save us from our sins, Lord Jesus. And he resurrected, hallelujah, he resurrected, and all power, all power, all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And that's who we worship this morning. And we also know that we can have that power. Jesus said, you will have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And that's what we pray this morning. Hallelujah. Someone will get saved. Someone will get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Someone will get healed. Someone will get delivered this morning, God, from this service, from this pulpit this morning. We worship your mighty and your holy, victorious name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. rhythm in my feet. Well, I feel him all over me.
Well, he woke me up this morning. He's still alive. I talked with him this morning. He's still alive. He woke me up this morning. He's still alive. Well, Jesus. Sure to come, turn around, turn around, turn around. Well, my God said he would turn it around. Oh, my God said he would turn it around. Well, what the devil meant for evil, God will make it good. Well, give him joy every day will be sweeter than the day before.
God said he would turn it around.
Oh,
my God said he would turn it around.
Well, what the devil meant for evil, my God will make it good.
Turn around, turn around, turn around.
Sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before.
God said he would turn it around.
Oh,
my God said he would turn it around. Well, what the devil meant for evil,
well, my God will make it good.
Turn around.
Joy. Every day's gonna be sweeter than the day before.
God said he would turn it around.
Well,
my God said he would turn it around. Well, what the devil meant for evil, God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around.
The Lord wants to move somebody this morning, but he ain't gonna move if you don't let him. If you stand there, I don't care what they say, what they try to cheer me up, I don't care, he ain't gonna turn nothing around. Well, with faith like that, he ain't gonna do nothing. But if you'll hand it over to him, let go and say, God, I trust you, my life is in your hands, I know I'll make it. Jesus, I trust you, take this situation and turn it around. Devil, get your head stomped. Get a black eye and get behind me, because let me tell you, God's going to deliver some people, but we got to get out of the way for him to do it. Amen. Well, my God said he would turn it around.
Oh, my God said he would turn it around. Well, what the devil meant for evil, God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around.
Just give him all the praise. It doesn't say stand there, God is in control. It doesn't say fold your arms, give him all the praise. God is in control. Raise those hands, give him all the praise. God is in control. Turn around, turn around. it around, God. I believe you. I trust you, Lord.
God will
take it and make something great out of it.
Turn around, turn around, turn around.
We'll turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, turn around, turn around. He's gonna turn it around.
Amen. She's right on track with what she was saying. I saw a little more excitement at the boxing matches yesterday evening. People yelling, people screaming for their favorite boxer and things, and they're all doing it for something temporary. I'm doing a little bit of it myself. Get into it. Go, 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 get with it, man. But they're doing it for something temporary. We are doing it for something eternal. Amen. God is not dead. And if they can act like that, we can at sporting events. What about when it's time to come to church? What about when it's time to say, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from drugs. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from alcohol. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from sin. Thank you, Lord, for turning some things around in my life. I tell you, if you believe it, he can do it. And I'm going to say what she said. You can't stand there, sit there, and fold up your arms and cringe up and think that God's going to do. You got to open up. You got to, when we say put your hands in there, we're not trying to control you. We're not trying to make you do anything. We're trying to help you to get to the place where you can say, Lord, I surrender, and this is my sign of surrender, and I give it all to you, Lord, so you have your way. And boy, when them hands go up, there ain't no telling what might happen. It's just a sign. It's an outward sign of, Lord, I'm surrendering. I'm giving you my problems. I can't fix them. I can't change them. I can't change my wife. I can't change my husband. I can't change my children. And all the parents said, amen. But we know somebody who can. Amen. When you learn how to give them to him and take your hands off and just let him have his way, boy, he goes to work. I don't know how many times in my life I've seen when I've tried to put my hands on things too much and the Lord had to move on me, back up, let go, let it go, let me have control, let me do it. And when I've learned to back up and let go, God starts moving and doing things. And then you get to say, look what the Lord has done. It ain't look what Thomas has done. It's look what the Lord has done. God wants the glory for the things that he does. And we can't let the flesh get in the way of him doing the things he wants to do. Amen. We're going to take up the offering this morning. Thank you to everybody that's giving. You know, I want to throw a little challenge out this morning. I made mention, was it last Sunday or Wednesday night, that we have raised $12,500 for the building fund. I want to throw a little challenge out to some people to step it up and let's get to $13,000 as quick as we can. Because, you know, we've been hung there. I don't know who gives. I don't keep up with it. I don't look at it. Ain't none of my business. I don't know who's giving what for this building. I don't do that. But I know we've been hung there around $11,500, $12,000. Let's go to $13,000. People watching, give, help us. Those of you here, help us. It's income tax time. I know some of y'all are getting some back because you got enough kids. I know you're getting some back. Help us. No, you can't go wrong giving to what God is in. You can't go wrong. Well, I just don't know if God is in it. Well, that's your opinion. I know what the Lord wants, and I'm going to do what God says. So you can keep your opinion to yourself. I believe that God is what she was saying. God is going to turn some things around. This building is going to be built. The money is going to come, but we got to give. So I'm challenging people to give. To help us move on, let's get moving forward with it, and let's watch what God will do. Just a little challenge. I'm not telling you what to give. I'm asking you to step up in faith and give, and you watch God. He'll meet your need, I'll guarantee you. If you need a healing this morning, if you need a touch in your body, if you need prayer, come this morning as we get ready to take up the offering. And there's an altar here. It's not, Brian didn't build them to look at. They're built for people to come and meet with the Lord. So whatever your need is, know this. He'll meet with you. You step out in faith, he will meet with you. You sit down, you don't move, He doesn't really do much. But when we step out in faith and say, Lord, I have a need, I'm surrendering it to you, God will move and he'll do things in your life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to have your way this morning in this service. We pray against the devil. We pray against the powers of hell. We pray against powers of darkness. We pray against religious spirits and strongholds of the enemy that try to control your children, Lord. We pray against pain. We pray against sickness. We pray against disease. And Lord, we claim healing today by the blood of your Son, by the power of God, Lord, that you are still present to heal all that are afflicted, all that are sick, all that are oppressed of the devil, Lord. And I ask you this morning to have your way in the service. Move through the camera. Lord, those watching that need a touch in their bodies, go right where they are, Lord. Meet their need, Lord. Move upon people to give the finances to help us to go forward, Lord, with this building program. And we'll give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just one more soul, 'cause That's what we're supposed to be doing through all the things we go through, learning to depend upon Him more. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. What do you mean, Paul? You do know Him. He said, I need to know Him more. I need to come a little closer. There's some things He's going to have to take me through. Been through a lot of hard things, but there'll be some more things He'll take me through it. He'll help me with the thorn in the flesh. He'll help me with the attacks of the devil. He'll help me with the slander of false brethren. He'll help me, amen, because He has the power. Praise the Lord. You can feel His Spirit in here this morning, amen. He's ministering to people. When the Spirit of God shows up, He wants to do something, amen. This morning, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 13 in your Bibles. Luke 13, I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Luke 13:14. says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you today for your power, for your spirit, for your love, for your mercy, God. We thank you for your anointing that helps all of us to do everything you've called us to do. Lord, we need your power. We need your wisdom. We need your understanding in everything that we do. So, Lord, I just pray, God, this morning that you help me, Lord, to preach your word, help your people to understand. And, Lord, we just pray for your power to show up. Lord, there are people who need things, and your power, one touch from you, can change everything. There are people who need to be saved. There are people who need to be healed. There are people who need to be delivered from demonic powers. There are people, Lord, that need a touch by you, God. And religion is not going to get it, but the power of God can do it. Lord, we ask you this morning to have your way. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead, that we are going to see a move of your spirit, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. The Lord laid this on my heart this week, brought this story to me to preach on this morning, and it's a story about a miraculous healing that Jesus brought forth to a woman who the Bible says was sitting in one of the synagogues where he was invited to teach or to minister. And you know, in the beginning of his ministry, he was invited to quite a few, but when they started seeing his power, when they started feeling, you know, the Bible scripture said that, you know, when he spake, he didn't speak like every other man. He spake with power. Adam said he spake with power. There was an anointing upon him. He did great things. And when he was invited to these places, he would preach, he would teach the word of God. And as he increased in wisdom and in the power of the Spirit, he had the fullness of the Spirit. We know that. But he would be invited to these places, and then great things would happen, and they didn't want him to come back. Who's that? The religious folk. The one that don't believe that God still moves in 2024. The religious people that don't believe that Jesus can still heal. The religious people that don't believe that Jesus can still baptize in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Come on back tonight. I got a word for some of you. The religious people, if you hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, come back tonight. Come anyway. And come expecting. Come believing. Let me tell you, you don't want it. Don't worry, you won't get it. But if you're excited and you know it's for you and you know it's real and you desire it, come on back and watch what God just might give you tonight. Because the power of God is still real. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues is real right now in 2024. And it's for everybody sitting in this building and everybody watching through that camera that has been born again. His power is real, and you need this power. You need it. But Jesus was invited to one of the synagogues, and the scripture said that as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, behold, there was a woman there which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and said she was bound together and she could in no wise lift herself up. We see an emphasis upon this woman and her condition. But let me tell you something. The emphasis here can be brought over from the natural into the spiritual realm today. Because just as this woman in the physical had a physical infirmity that had bowed her, bent her over, and she was unable to function for 18 years, the devil, my friend, has bent God's creation from the time they have come out of mama's womb. Satan has people bound. He has them bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by pornography, bound by witchcraft, bound by lust, bound by demon spirits, bound. People that are lost without God, listen, they can't function. They're a mess. They can't think right. They can't make it because Satan has them bound. Just like every one of us in this place before we got saved. You may not have been demon possessed, but you were bound by satanic powers. You were ruled by evil spirits. Your thoughts were not on God. Your thoughts were on yourself continually. All you cared about was you and yourself and nobody else. And you ran over other people to get what you wanted. And you cut people down and you cussed people out and you mistreated all kind of people. You spoke evil of people. But when you got saved and the power of God invaded your life, everything began to change. And now the focus is no longer on self. It's on Jesus. It's on His power. But we all were bound. Some were worse than others. But we were all under the same influence, which was the power of Satan because of the fall in the garden. It points out this woman that she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. I want to talk about this word infirmity because I looked up some definitions of it on my app or my computer yesterday, the computer program that I have, which gives a lot of the definitions in Greek words and helps you to understand things a little bit better. But I want to read you some things about this word infirmity and what it represents. It represents weakness, sickness. It means to be sick or weak. They're the most common expressions for illness and are used in the comprehensive sense of the whole man. However, it can also refer to a special form of bodily weakness or sickness. This is the definition of this Greek word. It says this is, however, there's a second word in Matthew 8:17 called nosoas, if that's right, meaning the sicknesses themselves, which must be considered. Here, this word, asthenia, may be said to be the result of illness since it indeed deprives us of the strength that we would enjoy if it were not for sickness. The Lord on the cross took upon himself not only the consequences of sickness, but sicknesses themselves, both being basically the result of man's disobedience to God. Do you know why we have to deal with the things that we deal with in the flesh on this earth? Because of the fall. Disobedience. And I'll go a little step further. If you're a Christian and you're disobeying God's word, and you're going against His word, it may just be that you could be experiencing some difficulties in your physical body because God is trying to deal with you. It could be. I'm not saying everybody is, but it could be. Because God lets things happen at times to deal with us, to touch us, to correct us, to show us things. So this word here has many meanings. And it's basically due because of the disobedience of man to God. It says this, that Christ, no, I don't want to go there, an expression with a similar meaning is kakos, another Greek word, meaning to have it badly or to have it bad. How many people do you know right now that have it bad? Do you know why they have it bad? Most of them, they're lost without God. They're lost without Jesus. I was watching, I saw on the news the other night, well, I think they said 70% of the American people are down. Not feeling well, dealing with a lot of issues due to what is taking place in our nation. What's taking place in our government. It said that this expression is followed by another word, gnosis. It means, from Mark 1:34, it said, and he healed many that were sick of diverse, various, manifold diseases. It was diseases that made them have it bad or weak. A similar expression is found in Luke 4:40, used both from the present particle, asthonatus, meaning that they were sick because of diseases, as in Luke 5:15, this word sickness. Sicknesses may refer to physical weaknesses due to specific diseases or the corruptibility of the human body from which no one is exempt, for all die. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, the adjective asthenes means to be weak, and a synonym arostai, sick, are used together, indicating that there must be a difference between the two terms. Asthenes here must refer to those suffering from weakness of any kind, i.e. physical, psychomatic, emotional, economic. How many people are sinking, depressed, want to kill themselves because of financial difficulties that they cannot get themselves out of? Problem. Look, this is the world without God. But I wonder how many Christians are sitting on a seat this morning in very similar condition because they're not surrendering to Jesus Christ. They're not letting God have His way in their heart. You don't have to live depressed. You don't have to live under the weight of that financial problem, because my God is a miracle working God. He can release you from the pressure. It don't mean that all of a sudden the finances disappear. Maybe He might give you the means to pay some of those bills. Maybe He might work through a miraculous way and cancel your debt. Maybe He might do something. But the one thing He wants you to understand is He don't want you oppressed. He don't want you in debt to the devil. He don't want you in debt to money, to the world. He wants your allegiance to Him and Him alone. And He can lift you from the weight of this world. I'm telling you this morning, I know what I'm talking about. We got people up in here, you were oppressed of the devil, some even after you got saved. You were loving God, but you were living in misery until you heard about the truth of the gospel, that Jesus didn't, He didn't just die to save you, He died to liberate you, to free you from all kind of stuff. The physical, the psychomatic, emotional, economic, relational, or whatever causes a person to state, I don't feel well. The Greeks had and still have a word for this. It's athumia. It means to be faint-heartedness. Despondency. The noun does not occur in the New Testament, but the verb athumio, I don't know how I'm pronouncing these words, I think I'm pronouncing them right. Don't matter, you probably can't do much better. Bear with me. Meaning to be spiritless. I'm going to pick on a few of y'all real quick. Because when the praise and worship started, you didn't act like you were very spirited. You looked a little spiritless. I know problems. I know pain. I know issues. But let me tell you something. God is trying to get his people to where we can get beyond and get past the things that the world and the devil is trying to plague us with and cause us to be disheartened and lose hope, because you don't have to lose hope when you're hanging on to the nail-scarred hand. You don't have to lose hope because there's one that can turn things around in your life. There's one that can bring you out of your misery. There's one that can turn everything around in your life. He doesn't want his children to be spiritless. He wants you to be full of the Spirit. It means to be disheartened, to be dismayed. That's what this word represents, infirmity. Now, the Bible says that this woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she was bowed together, and she could in no wise lift herself up. She was crippled, pretty much. She was unable to provide for herself. She was unable to travel. She was restricted in her life until Jesus showed up. She was broke, busted, and disgusted. She was bowed, and look, she was bent over. But listen, the scripture says, indicates that it was the power of the devil that had done this to her. I'm going to say it again. The world is bound by the devil. Those lost without God, they can't function. They're having a meltdown. You know, they said a while back that they were talking about banning TikTok and getting rid of this app. And they said, oh, a whole bunch of young people said they didn't know what they would do. They were threatened to commit suicide if they took away the app. Or you see, let's see, this is how bad that this is. We're addicted to technology. We're addicted to a telephone. But Jesus Christ can set you free. He can free you from the telephone. He can free you from the computer. He can free you from TikTok. He can free you from Snapchat. He can free you from Facebook. He can free you from anything. Amen. 18 years, she's bound, crippled. She can't function. And as Jesus Christ was in their synagogue, teaching and preaching, he sees her. He specifically lays eyes on her because he is about to do something to show everybody who he is and what he can do. I got a feeling that in the midst of the turmoil that America is experiencing right now, America is crippled. But I think Jesus is about to show up. I think Jesus is about to straighten some stuff. I believe God is about to do something. That's why the torment, that's why people have lost heart. They're downtrodden. You know, a few years back when we had a good president who promoted the gospel and it gave us freedom to go to church, preach the word of God, you know, worship God, it seemed like everybody's spirit was a little more up. And then you see how things have changed because we got devils running the nation and they're trying to destroy people. They're helping people to perish. They're endorsing evil. They're endorsing wickedness. But I got a feeling God is going to turn some things around and show America who's really in control. Bowed together, she could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, now you got to think about this. This is in public. This is in a synagogue. This is where a bunch of religious people are who are supposed to know God and his word. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. I wonder if that could have been a little embarrassing. He singles her out. He sees her condition. And he calls her, I don't know her name, but if her name was Mary, maybe he said, Mary, I want you to stand forth. He called her to get, called her to him, and he said unto her, so that means she had to make some effort to come to at least to try to get up. We can't even get people to get up and get to church today. You think God's just going to come and do everything for you? Listen, he's requiring faith of people. He requires you. Look, when he speaks to you, you react. If you sit there, ain't nothing going to happen. If you don't get up, make some effort to let God touch you, if you don't learn to put them hands in the air, if you don't make some effort when the praise and worship starts, ain't nothing going to happen in your heart or in your life. He called her to him. Just like today, he is calling many people to him. He's calling some of your family members. It's up to them as to whether or not they'll get up and respond. People, we have a choice. God does not force anybody to do anything. This woman had a choice. May look a little embarrassing, but maybe she's thinking, you know what? I don't have anything to lose. Who cares what the eye rollers think? Who cares what them religious bunch of self-righteous idiots think? All they want to do is sit around and stare at people anyway. Forget about them. He's calling me. I ain't got anything to lose, so I think I'll just try to get up on my feet. I just give everything I got, and with my back bent over, I'll just see if I can get up on my feet and make a step toward him. Until you do, nothing's going to happen. Until you open your heart to let Jesus come in, nothing's going to change. He called her, he saw her, he called her to him. And said unto her, woman, listen, you are loosed from your infirmity. But at the same time, he did something else. Listen, some of you people won't know where we get this from. I'm about to show you. He laid his hands on her. Some of y'all ain't laid hands on nobody in a month of Sundays. That might be embarrassing. That wouldn't look right. Who cares what it looks like? Jesus didn't care what they thought about him. He was a son. Look, he's our example. He called her to him. And look, as he laid his hands on her, he said, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Come on, somebody. Jesus wants to lay his hands on somebody today. He wants to lay his hands on somebody in this church. He wants to loose you from the things that the devil's trying to use to keep you down. He wants to let you go today. He wants to free you from religion. He wants to free you from false doctrine so somebody can learn how to get up on their feet and say, praise God, I'm free. Woman, he's calling somebody today. Man, he's calling you to come to him. Are you going to respond? He laid his hands on her, and at the same time he said, you are loosed from your infirmity. All he got to do is speak the word. I ain't God and you ain't God. And there's sometimes I lay hands on people and nothing happens. There's other times I do and something does happen. But one thing for sure, I ain't going to stop laying hands on them just because something didn't happen the last time. Because a miracle might be about to happen to the next one. Come on, some of y'all give up too easy. Well, nothing happened. Well, won't you keep trying? Well, I ain't got filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been seeking for years. Well, come on back tonight. Come on, try one more time. Something just might happen. But if you don't show, you don't come, you don't move, Nothing happens. He laid his hands on her. Listen, and immediately she was made straight. Immediately. Could you imagine being there in the midst of a synagogue with a bunch of self-righteous, egotistical idiots walking around in robes who claim to know God, and they're sitting there and they act like they don't know what's going on, and the power of God starts moving in a synagogue, and all of a sudden here's this woman that was bound by the devil. She was bent over. Most of them had to know it. They've seen her probably for years, and all of a sudden, bam, she is straight up. Come on, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can make you straight. He can make you straight from alcohol. He can make you straight from drugs. He can make you straight from homosexuality. He can make you straight. He can take you when you're down, and he can straighten you right out. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm one this morning that was bent over, but Jesus has made me straight. You too. Don't look at it like it's just me. You were too. Bound up by self, bound up by religion, some bound up by false doctrine. Jesus wants to make people straight from that too, because it's killing people. Notice, she's sitting in their synagogue in this condition. I wonder how many services she attended week after week. I wonder how many times she went, never receiving one single thing that she needs. And there's most of your modern day churches. They don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe Jesus is still a miracle worker. They don't believe that he still does the same things yesterday, today, and forever. They don't believe it. If they did, they'd preach it. Immediately, she was made straight. And it says she began to glorify God. You know, I believe God wants to do something in these last days. I believe that he wants to do it in such a way that everybody has to step back and say, Thomas didn't do it. Adam didn't do it. Grace didn't do it. Karen didn't do it. Michaela didn't do it. Melissa didn't do it. Man, that was the power of God. Come on, somebody. I want to see God. I want to see people that are bound by the devil. I want to see people that are sick with diseases. I want to see people eat up with cancer. I want to see the power of God move on them and move in them and restore them and heal them in such a way that when he's done with them, they're going to say, let me tell you what the Lord has done. And whether they know him or not, come on somebody, the Bible doesn't really tell us that she knew him, but brother, when he got finished with her, she started glorifying God. God wants to move in these last days, but he's got to teach us, it ain't you, it's his power. It's not your great prayer, it's his power. It's his power. His power comes through what he did at the cross today. He told us that he would give us this power. He said, go preach this gospel. I give unto you power. Power over the powers of the devil. Power over demon spirits. Power to heal the sick. Power! He was an example of this. And man, when she got healed, she started glorifying God. You know, kind of reminds me of another story in the Bible where Jesus was in another synagogue in Mark chapter 3. And it said there was a man in the synagogue with a withered hand. The withered people, the withering away people. With a withered hand, a cripple in his hand, a disease, whatever it was that had caused his hand to shrink up. It was withering away. It was non-functional. And Jesus calls to him. You know, let me tell you something. See, God likes to go where some people won't. God likes to move where some of his children don't want to go. And it said that that man, Jesus told him, listen, Jesus spoke to him. He said, stand forth. Rise up. Could be a little embarrassing, huh? When you're the only one sitting in the building with this infirmity. And you know, you don't want to be put on the spot, but you don't realize if you do what he says, if you do what he says, I'm going to tell you this, there's sometimes when we're preaching and the Lord will lay on our heart to tell you something, to say something, to speak to you, and we don't know exactly who it is, to tell you if you will do this or this or that, God is going to move for you. God is going to do something. What it is, we don't always know, but sometimes it's the Holy Spirit speaking that if you will stand forth, if you will find a way to the altar, if you will find a way to get your hands in there, if you will find a way to just bend the knee and bow and let him have his way, you will walk out of this place different than what you came in. That's what church is supposed to be about. A man with a withered hand, he said, stand forth, meaning rise up. He said, stretch forth your hand. Oh, if I do, everybody's going to see my infirmity. Here's what's wrong with too many Christians. Afraid of somebody knowing that they have an infirmity. You can't get healed until you admit you're sick. You can't get touched by God. Look, you can't get free from sin until you say, Lord, I need deliverance. I need help with this. And there's time the Holy Spirit's going to put you on the spot. Are you going to move? Are you going to obey the voice of the Lord? Stretch forth your hand. Forget about what everybody else in the church thinks about you. You got an infirmity. You're withering away. Your spirit is dying. You need revival. You need a move of God in your heart, in your life, in your physical body. Tune everybody else out and come to Jesus and watch what he will do. Get your focus off your family. Get your focus off your friends. Get your focus off your boss. Get your focus off your husband and just come to Jesus and let him heal you in the areas where he wants to heal you. And the man, he stretched out his hand. Here it is. Stretched it out and it was restored. Immediately it was restored, it said, as whole as the other. Now he can function. He's got both members. He's got both arms working. See, don't you function a whole lot better when all those members are working? You know, we get a little older, the members start dropping, sagging, giving out, aches, pains. God wants his body to function. No matter what our physical condition is, he wants us to function right spiritually. It was restored as whole as the other. You know what? Many people have heard about Jesus Christ, and they've been to church, but they have never experienced his power. They've never experienced his power in their own life. Is that you today? Are you experiencing his power to change you? His power to heal you? His power to deliver you? His power to do whatever needs to be done in your heart and in your life? Listen, that power today comes through what he did at the cross, and that alone. You put your faith in him, what he did alone, you leave it there. God's power begins to move in your life. It begins to change you. It begins to free you, begins to liberate you, and do things in your life that you could never do on your own. You've got to have the power of God. So if you want the power, you got to come to Jesus. It said the ruler Now, after this happens, see, anytime God moves, get ready for the devil to show up. Get ready for negativity to come. Get ready for the doubters and the pouters to express themselves. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He's mad. Imagine that, mad because a woman got healed. But see, that's not really so much what he's mad about. He's mad because he's claiming that Jesus has broken the Sabbath. You see what stupid religion does? You see what stupid religious traditions do to people? They hinder a move of God. They don't want the Holy Ghost to show up in their church services. There's 100,000 Baptist churches around this town. I guarantee you, you can walk into most of them this morning. You don't have no freedom to raise your hands. You sure don't have no freedom to shout. You sure don't have no freedom to twirl. You sure you don't have no freedom because they're bound by religious traditions and they think if anything's going to happen, it's got to be involved because of the involvement of their program. You know, they got that little program week after week. This is how we're going to do everything. We're going to confine God. We're going to tell God how we're going to do this service. Well, you know what? We have an order here, but honey, it ain't nothing like that. I don't put it down on paper because the Holy Ghost, by the time I put it on paper, I found out the Holy Ghost will blow it all away, burn the paper up, and say, let me have my way in your church. Let me have my way in the ministry. Let me move. They're bound by a program, an order. I've been in some of them. I know how they operate. No freedom. You can't worship the Lord. You can't express yourself as you feel inside without some eye rolling and some people looking at you like, what's wrong with them? They don't belong in here. No, they sure don't. They belong in a Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled church where the power of God is moving. That's where you belong. Boy, I'd sure hate to leave something like this and go to something like that. But that's exactly what a lot of people have done. Living on the dead side when the power is real. But see, men want to try to control God's power. They want to confine God. They want to say, if something's going to happen, it's going to be according to our religious traditions. And the ruler is mad. He's with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Let me tell you, I've seen a demonstration of that. We've seen a demonstration of that 3 or 4 years back in Pakistan. When I was invited to preach at a, I think it was a Lutheran church. I don't even know what it was. They just said, you're invited to come preach at this big church. I said, okay, let's go. I had no clue what we were walking into. But I tell you what, by the time we walked out of there, that man that was sitting up on that seat in the front, I can tell you that he's just like this man right here was, full of the devil. He didn't want no move of God in that place. There were people demon possessed in that meeting. He didn't care about them. He didn't care nothing about anybody laying hands on them. Matter of fact, he forbid people to go down to where those people were. That's what your religion does for you, folks. But Jesus Christ, whether you can get your hands on them or not, the power of God. I remember that interpreter. He was looking as we were praying for some of those people, and he was saying, in the name of Jesus, and the power of God was moving on some of these people, and some of them were screaming. And they were making noises, but you could tell the power of God had come. And that man sat back there in that seat with the most evil look on his face. He didn't say one word to me after I was done preaching. I didn't expect him to. He looked like some people look, you know, from time to time sitting in church when the Spirit of God gets to moving. You'll find out who wants it and who don't want it. It's religious evil. Now, the religious ruler, he's mad at Jesus. He said, because he's healing on the Sabbath day. You can't be doing that on the Sabbath day. You're working. Oh, I thought that the Sabbath day was a day of rest. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and said, I'll give you rest. And you know what? He don't give us rest just on Sunday. We got rest every moment, every hour, every day in him. We got rest. We got spiritual rest. We are free from the powers of the devil, and we can rest in him, and he can work a miracle any day he wants to where faith is exhibited. He's not confined to men's stupid traditions. The religious ruler said, he's mad because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. So he doesn't care about this crippled woman. He doesn't care about the drug addicts. He doesn't care about the alcoholics. He doesn't care about those bound by the devil. He's more concerned with his stupid, false teaching, because that's what it was. And Jesus would tear it down to the ground. The Lord answered in him, listen to this, this is your Jesus. Listen to what your Jesus said to a religious idiot. He said, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. Oh, now we see a little righteous anger coming from our Lord. Because we know good and well, he wants to set people free. And he don't like it when the devil is trying to use anybody to hinder people from being set free. God ain't happy with people that are trying to hinder what he's doing. He said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you, don't each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his little donkey and take him out and and water him? Well, don't you know that's work? Oh, wait a minute, hold on. You're saying that me liberating a woman and healing her body? But you can miss church sometimes, stay home from the synagogue, do what you gotta do to pull your little ox out of the ditch. You'll take your ox and you'll take him to work because he provides for you. He's your means of transportation, so you'll break the law to satisfy yourself. And you're telling me that healing this woman is wrong? He says, no, you're wrong. I mean, he put him on the spot. He tells him, this is what you all do. Don't you all on the Sabbath day loose your ox and your donkey from the stall and lead him to the watering? I wonder what he must have been thinking when Jesus confronted him. I don't think he had too much to say. You see, when God confronts you, there ain't too much you can say. He knows. You see, we got people today, some that they think that God won't move outside of their denominations. We got some in the church that think God won't move outside their little cliques. Some professing the message of the cross. God won't move. God won't do. I mean, you better be real careful about saying what God won't do. Because you ain't God. But they don't want God to move outside of their sphere. As Brother Swagger said one time, that somebody in the Assemblies of God told him, pounding his fist on the table, if there's going to be a move of God, it's going to be because of our denomination, not what you're doing. Jealous and mad and angry because he's leading thousands of people to Jesus Christ in his giant crusades, and here they are right here. People will not be saved. They will not be filled with the Holy Spirit unless it's through our denomination. funny. Bible doesn't teach that. It contradicts that. God will move wherever the gospel is preached. God will move wherever his son is lifted up. God will move where people lift up his son. He said this, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond? Where's your compassion? Don't you care about the lost? Don't you care about the disease? Don't you care about the sick? Don't you care about the homosexuals? Don't you care about those that the devil has bound up? And said, and when he has said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. He put them to shame. Listen, through correct teaching. Listen, correct teaching is a blessing to those who need to know the truth. But let me tell you, it can bring some trouble to those who don't want it. He's setting the record straight here. This is what we do in this church. We teach you correct doctrine. We preach to you the word of God. We take you to Jesus, and we want you to let the Holy Ghost have his way in your life. We don't point you to us. We point you to him, because if we can do that, he'll do a whole lot more in you than we could ever think about doing. You see, we got to get people to Jesus. Yes, and God uses preachers. Yes, we preach the word. God uses the gifts. He wants the gifts. But it ain't us doing the work. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. God is the one that saves. God is the one that sets free. So get off your high horse thinking you're something. It's Jesus. He's everything. We got people in the church, they think that if it ain't because of their prayer, something won't happen. Nothing will happen for somebody. They think if it's not for them laying hands on the person, nothing will happen. You're thinking more highly of yourself. It's about time you come down before the Lord brings you down. If he uses us to work a miracle, praise God. But let me tell you who should get the glory. It ain't you. You don't point people to you. You point them to Jesus. And let me tell you, the devil hates that. He hates it. When there are men and women who are pointing people to Jesus Christ alone and get out of the way and let God have his way in their life. Look, this is what makes a strong, mature church. If all we do is run around babysitting everybody all the time, trying to fix all their problems, trying to pray all their prayers and do everything for them, where in the world are they using their faith? Where are they trusting God? How come? Are you getting what I'm saying? People need to go to Jesus. You come to me with a problem, I'll try to help you, but I can tell you by the time we're done, you're going to Jesus. He's the answer. Boy, it's real quiet in here. He's the answer for every problem you have. He's the answer. Your infirmity, your sickness, your weakness, your financial difficulty, the boss being mean to you. Come on, somebody. People being jealous of you. He is the answer. Turn them over to him. Let him have his way in your life and watch what God will do. Amen. All his adversaries were ashamed. But look what else happened. All the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. That's what God wants. God wants to move. God wants to work in Family Worship Center. God wants to move through the internet. God wants to heal people. God wants to deliver people. God wants to You know, this morning, I don't think it's ironic, Miss Jones, you're sitting there with that thing on your arm having problems. I believe God wants to touch you. When I laid eyes on you this morning, when I was sitting over there thinking about what God had given me to preach this morning, I said, God, touch her. Lord, heal her. I don't know what's going on. I don't have to know all the details of what's going on with her. The Holy Ghost knows what's going on with her, and he can get where Thomas can't get. Come on, somebody. I don't know what you need, Miss Mildred, but the Holy Ghost knows what you need. Come on, somebody. We're here to get you to Jesus. And when Jesus gets done with you, you're going to be saying, my Lord, look what the Lord has done. Oh, praise God with me, somebody. That little, I wonder why, I don't know. I'd love to have been there to see that little woman, to see the man with the withered hand, to see the man that was let down through the roof on his deathbed when Jesus got done with him. And they started walking, they started functioning. But look at us today. He's done the same for us. He brought me out of the deathbed. Bed of alcohol. He brought some of y'all off the deathbed of drugs. He brought some of you, no, all of us off the deathbed of sin. Notice this, while I'm there, his four friends took him to Jesus. They didn't take him. They wouldn't have taken him to Dr. Phil. They would not have taken him to the church counselor. They took him to Jesus. They said, we know somebody. And we're going to get you to him. We need this kind of fervor in our church today. They said, you can't function on your own. We see it. You can't walk. You can't move. You can't operate. So here's what we're going to do. Me and three others all going to get a corner of your deathbed, and we're going to carry you to where Jesus is. So church, it's about time we get busy carrying them to where Jesus is. And the Bible said when they got to the house, the crowd was so big, they couldn't get through the press of the crowd. I mean, the house was jam-packed, and that's where most of us would say, okay, let's just go on back home. Forget about this. Maybe God ain't going to do anything today. But somebody said, fella. Maybe one looked at the other and said, hey, you remember when you got set free? And one looked at the other and said, yeah, I remember when I got healed. We ain't about to leave here. If we got to go up on the rooftop, and we got to get on a plane and ride 18 to 19 hours, and we got to travel all the way half across the world, we're going to see God move in these last days, and he's going to save somebody. He's going to heal somebody. He's going to deliver somebody. But we got to use faith. God wants to touch people. He wants to look. He wants to do things for people who don't even know him, to bring them to him. That's what the miracles were for those that didn't know him, to bring them to him. I had a woman stop by the shop a week or so ago. She texted me, said, my son's got a vehicle I need. Can you fix it? And whatnot. I said, just send it on there. She said, I'm really bad sick right now, and I don't know if the flu, I just feel terrible. And I was just starting to get over my stomach issue, virus or whatever it was. And I said, I'm sorry that you feel bad. And I said, I'll be praying for you. Sent the car down and everything. I worked on it. A few days later, she come down to pick it up to pay me. And that they were going to come back and get the car later. And she was outside in her car. She honked her horn. She said, I couldn't get out of my car because I'm terrible. She said, I went to work all week, you know. And I thought, well, you women are tough. I said, you women are tough. That's what I said. Women are tough. She went to work with this, and she said, I'm awful. I had to go to the doctor. Finally went to the doctor. And she was sitting there in the car after she paid me and everything or whatever. And I don't think she knows the Lord. I just don't think she does. But if you hang around long enough and you come to where somebody who does know him, something might rub off on you. And before she got ready to leave, I said, I was leaning in the passenger side of her window. She was sitting in the driver's seat. I said, can I pray for you? And she kind of looked at me funny. Can I pray for you? She's like, now? Here? I said, yeah. Can I pray for you? And I said, she just reached her hand out over toward the window. And I reached in, leaned over, and took her by the hand. I said, let's pray. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to heal this woman. I ask you to touch her. I ask you to reveal yourself to her. God, I'm asking you to work a miracle in her, Lord. And boy, I'm telling you, I could feel the Holy Spirit moving when somebody said, well, are you taking a chance on getting sick? I already been sick. I didn't have nothing to lose, and I felt the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost says do it, I don't care what anybody else thinks. Did you hear me? If I die and somebody else gets here, well, praise the Lord. But I don't look at it like that. And you know, she left the next day. She texted her something, asked me a question. And she said, I feel a lot better today. I just text back. I said, praise the Lord. God wants to touch people. He wants to reveal. Hey, look, and he'll do it outside of your box. I have every confidence that God is going to bring more people down there who are going to get the gospel, who are going to get saved. They're going to get healed. It ain't about money. It's about God having his way. Of course you want to make money, but I leave all that into the Lord's hands because he'll take care of that part. You know, God can use your work as a ministry. He can use it for you to witness. Now, I don't stop every single thing I'm doing to run and lay hands on everybody. I don't do that. I try to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. If somebody comes walking up, I had one a couple of weeks ago, and I knew, you know, he'd come walking up out of nowhere, and he didn't look so good, and he said, I know I need some help. So I just left the hospital, and I got an infection, and you know, he said he needed some money for a prescription. I said, you got the prescription? He showed me a prescription, showed me where he'd been in the hospital. And I said, well, I don't just give money to people, you know. I don't just give money to people. I said, because there's a lot of people running around here, and all they want is just you give them money, and they won't run on. I said, you know, I don't do stuff like that. And he was getting ready to walk off. I said, hold on. So I said, come back here. I said, I tell you what, I said, hold on. I went to my car. I got a $20 bill, and I said, I started preaching to him first. I started witnessing to him. I think this is what caused the issue. Started preaching to him. And I gave him the $20. I said, look, his prescription was $13. I said, take this. I said, now listen, go get you something to eat when you're done. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to come back and you show me your prescription. You show me proof that you're spending this money the way you said you are. I said, if you don't, don't ever come back here again and ask me for another thing. Well, guess what he did? Took the money and run. I told my wife, when I catch him next time, if he thinks the first preaching session was something, he's going to get the word this time. I don't care to help somebody, but when you lie to me, come on, somebody, when you flat out tell me a lie and you take the money and do the opposite, I'm not doing it again. I'll pray for you. What you need is deliverance from the drugs. What you need is deliverance from the alcohol. Come on, what you need is freedom from the real problem, which is sin. I'm not mad at him. The money don't matter to me. It's the fact that he looked at me in the face and he lied. I don't like that. Just be honest. God wants to touch people. God wants to heal people. See, everybody don't want it. And you have to use discernment in dealing with people. Miss Grace, would you come? I need a singer. Come here, little girl. Young lady. Listen, if you need a miracle today, Michaela, if you can come too. If you need a miracle today, I believe with all my heart God gave me this message. There's somebody here today. There's people watching. It's not limited to just physical healing, although that can happen. Maybe there's problems, there's burdens, there's issues. You got some, listen, infirmities, spiritual, mental, emotional, and Satan's trying to use it to weigh you down. Listen, your answer today is to bring it to Jesus. Come to Jesus, not to Thomas, to Jesus. As they begin to sing, listen, if you're watching, if you're here, step out. This is for you. Do you need a miracle in your body? Do you need a healing? Well, the Lord says, come. Stand up, rise up, stretch forth your hand. Step out in faith and trust God.
Trust in Jesus. Yes, I will learn.
need deliverance from something today? Are you struggling with drugs? Are you struggling with alcohol? Are you struggling with pornography? Are you struggling today? Listen, Jesus wants to make you free. I'm talking to somebody through that camera. Jesus wants to make you free today. Right where you are, His power is not limited. He wants to touch you right where you are. Open your heart up. Put your hands in the air. Say, Jesus, have mercy on me. And I'm going to tell you, God will move. What do you need today?
Yes, I'm alert.
Bring it to Jesus. What do you need today? Some of you that know how to pray, look, if you want to pray, get out of your seat and come pray with some of these people. Some of the ladies, pray with the ladies. Men with the men, as you're able to. Step out and let God use you today. The Bible said Jesus laid hands on them. And today you can lay hands on them. Come on, church. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have your way today. God, have your way today, Lord. Move today, God, in Jesus' name. Liberate your people, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost have His way in this place today. Lord, I'm asking you to free your people, God, in Jesus' name. His way today. His power is here. Let Him touch you today. He's not limited. We are, but He's not. Jesus. Come on, somebody. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, the Son of the living God. Come on, sing to Him. Sing to the Father. Give Him the glory today. Give Him the glory. Let Him have His way. Praise God. Come on, church. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. The Lord wants to touch people today. In Jesus' name.
Father, Father, Father.
Spirit.
Holy Spirit, speak.
Pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word today and for your power that is real. It's still real. And Lord, I pray for every person in this place that needs a miracle that you give it to them. God, people through the internet that need a miracle, give it to them. They need salvation. They need healing. God, let it flow through their body right now. Your power is not limited, Lord. You can flow through that camera. You can move through that internet, through that iPhone, through that computer, God. You can touch people and you can heal them right where they are. Lord, we thank you today that the healing power of Jesus is still real. And Lord, we thank you for having your way today. Come back tonight with us, Lord. Anoint us. Show us your glory. Show us your power. And fill people with your spirit tonight. Those that are thirsty, those that are hungry. Lord, fill them tonight, God, and give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. If you're here today and you hadn't been filled, come back tonight. You're a believer. Come back tonight. Please come back. God has something good for you. Watching through that camera, tune back in tonight. God has something good for you. God bless you. We'll see you this evening.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.